How nice would it be if you woke up tomorrow morning and there was somebody in your house that, well, that'd be creepy, but what if there was somebody in your house that was there just to tell you what to do? Like, hey, here's what you need to wear today based on the weather. Here's what you should have for breakfast that's going to make you feel great all day long. Here's what time you need to leave, taking traffic into consideration. And when you get to work, here's the emails you need to answer, and here's the ones you get to ignore. Here's what you can make for dinner in under 15 minutes, and everybody's going to love it, because here's what I know about most of us in life. We want to get it right. We're scared of getting it wrong, but we're just not always sure what right is. Should I take the job or should I not take the job? And then on top of that, if you're a follower of Jesus, you mix God into that. What does God want me to do, or what does He not want me to do? We want to get it right. We don't want to get it wrong. We just don't always know what that is. That's why the title of today's message is, Tell Me What to Do, God. Tell me what to do, God. So today, as we continue our message series called Think Ahead, as we look at the decisions that we can pre-decide today instead of waiting until we're in the moment, we're going to talk about a guy in the Old Testament whose name is Abraham. And we're going to look at the fact that he pre-decided to obey God. He decided today to obey God. Genesis 22 is where we're going to be, not the start of the story with Abraham and God. That's Genesis 12, about 40 years earlier. But Genesis 22 is like the climax of Abraham's story, where he has pre-decided to obey God. And here's what it says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. That already makes me a little uneasy, right? God tested Abraham. Testing is an event that outwardly exposes an inner reality. It shows on the outside what's going on the inside. God looks at Abraham. And if I'm going to be a little bit crude, says, let's squeeze him and see what comes out. Let's squeeze him and see what comes out. And I don't know if I've ever been tested by God, and you may never know that, but we do know what it feels like to be squeezed, don't we? As life begins to kind of close in around you, maybe it's the medical diagnosis that you're waiting on, or maybe it's that financially you're strapped and you go to the mailbox and you open it up and there's a tax bill you weren't expecting. Or maybe it's just the to-do list that every day is longer than you can get done. Maybe you just go to Chick-fil-A and you're going through the drive-thru and you drive off just to realize there's no Chick-fil-A sauce in the bag. And life is just squeezing you in. So, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And Abraham replies, Here I am. Here I am. Three words in English, one word in Hebrew. It's a pretty important word. It's hanini, like panini with a ha on the front. Hanini. Shows up 17 times in the Old Testament when God calls to Moses from a burning bush. Moses said, hanini. When God calls to Joseph, which we're going to talk about Joseph next week. Joseph says, hanini. When God calls out to Samuel, when Samuel's a young child in the temple, Samuel's instructed by an older prophet to reply, hanini. But here I am. But it's not just about location. I'm here physically. That's not what Abraham's saying. It's not about location. It's about availability. Because hanini means this. God, I'm totally ready to serve. I'm completely available. What Abraham says is, God, the answer's yes. Now what's the question? We want to get it right. Like when we hear Abraham say that, there's something inside of us that goes, man, I want to be able to say that. We're afraid of getting it wrong. We're just not always sure what getting it right is. But you see, somewhere in Abraham's 40 years of following God, he's realized that his greatest ability is his availability. And if you want to be used by God, your greatest ability is your availability. Abraham pre-decided, God, I'm going to obey. Now what's the question? Why? Because obedience leads you towards God, and disobedience drives you away from God. Obedience leads you towards God. Disobedience drives you away from God. So, here's what the question was for Abraham. Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac. I want you to go to the land of Moriah. I want you to climb the mountain. I want you to build an altar. I want you to put some wood on it, and I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. It says the next day Abraham got up, he loaded the donkey with wood, and he and Isaac set out. They went to Moriah. They went up the mountain. He put Isaac on the altar, and then as he reached for the knife, God stopped him. And he said, don't harm the boy. You've passed the test. For now I know that you fear me more than anything else. Why? Because he had pre-decided to obey God. In this passage, God audibly speaks to Abraham, and he tells him what he wants him to do. I've never had that happen. And I like to think, if God told me, I would do it. And I think that most of you would say that. I want to do what God wants me to do. It makes sense. You're at church. You're joining us online. You're on YouTube watching a message. It makes sense. I want to do what God wants me to do. Follow-up question. So what is it that God wants you to do? The number one answer, I'm not real sure. Number two, the right thing. What's the right thing? I don't really know, because God audibly speaks to Abraham. But I haven't had that experience yet. I want to do the right thing. I'm scared of doing the wrong thing. But I'm not sure what the right thing is. So here's what I want to do today. I want to take a little detour for a few minutes. And I want to talk about how do we, if we're a follower of Jesus, how do we know what God wants us to do? How does God speak to us if we're His people? Sometimes God directs us clearly. 2 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness. So that who? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." This is the inspired Word of God. It's alive and active. And sometimes we open it and God makes clear what He's directing us to do. I want you to, above all else, love God and love your neighbor. I want you to forgive other people. I want you to love your enemy. I want you to seek justice. I want you to care for the people who can't care for themselves. Sometimes God directs us clearly. And when He does, we should do it. We're not just to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. So that we're not like the people that Jesus talked about in Luke 6:46, where He says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" But that's not going to be us, because we want to do what's right. Sometimes God directs us clearly. Sometimes God guides us quietly. Romans 8:14 says this, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." If you are a follower of Christ, if you are part of God's family, the Holy Spirit resides within you. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit in your life is to guide you. It's when you're in prayer and you hear that still small voice in your mind and you go, that could be God. It's when you're in the moment of worship and you feel the presence of God come upon you, directing you, and you think, that could be God. It's when you're talking with somebody else, and they say something that lines up with what you read in the Bible that morning. You think, that could be God. How do we know if it's God? We go back to how He's directed us clearly. Does it line up with His Word? If it does, it could be God. If it doesn't, it's not God. Sometimes God directs us clearly. Sometimes God guides us quietly. And sometimes God grows us silently. Psalm 13, the psalmist says this, "How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me?" Like, here I am, God. I'm looking. I want to do what you want me to do. I'm scared of getting it wrong, I'm just not sure what it is. Abraham, in Genesis 22, had been following God for 40 years. The average human being makes 35,000 decisions a day, times 365 days in a year, times 40 years since he started following God. Abraham made 511 million decisions. Do you know how many times God spoke to Abraham? That's recorded in Scripture. 7. Out of 511 million, and you go, well, I'm sure God guided Abraham at times. I'm sure that God did. And I'm sure that there were still hundreds of millions of decisions that God grew him silently. Why? Because God had a bigger plan for Abraham. Let's take Jesus. Jesus was asked 183 questions in the Bible. Do you know how many out of 183 he answered directly? Three. Pretty important, three. But he answered three directly. 180 times he answered with questions of his own. He answered with stories. Sometimes clear, sometimes less clear. And sometimes Jesus didn't answer at all. Was he being unkind? Was he being coy? Was he playing a game? Or was he doing something bigger? Because I don't know that God's ultimate goal is always to give us every single answer. And sometimes I get so hung up with good intentions of, man, I want to be a person that makes Christ-like decisions. And that's good. But ultimately, God wants me to be a Christ-like person who's making decisions. Because at the end of the day, God's ultimate goal is not about information. It's about transformation of me to become more like Christ. Sometimes God directs us clearly in His Word. Sometimes God guides us quietly. And sometimes God grows us silently. And so maybe it's just that God trusts us enough to let us choose. And that's a frightening thought at times. Because here's what blows me away about Abraham's story. Abraham's held up in Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, as someone who had great faith in God. And he did. And he demonstrated it. But God also had faith in Abraham, because he looked over the whole earth and he could have chosen anybody to start his people. And who did he choose? He chose Abraham. He said, I want that one because I've put inside of him what I need to use to do what I want to do in this world. The same way that he looked at you, teacher. And he said, I could have put anybody in that classroom, but I put inside of you what I want to do for those kids to experience when you walk into that classroom, the same way he looked at you, parent, when he could have made those children's parents anybody. But he said what? He said, I want you to be. Why? Because God has faith in us, and we're called to have faith in Him. I want to get it right. I'm scared of getting it wrong, but I don't always know what right is. The good news is that God does speak to us. Genesis 22 is a troubling story. It's a story where God asked a father to sacrifice his son. It's a troubling story. And I think sometimes maybe if you grew up in church or if you've heard the story before, it loses a little bit of its rawness, a little bit of the emotion. And so what I want to do today is going to be difficult. But I'm going to ask something of you. I'm going to retell the story in Genesis 22, but I want you to try to listen to it like you've never heard it before. I want you to try to feel what Abraham must have felt. Genesis 22, Then God tested Abraham. Let's see what's inside of him. Let's shake him to the core and see who he really is. So God called to Abraham, and Abraham said, Hanini, God, here I am. God, I'm completely available. God, my answer is yes. Now, what's the question? So God said to Abraham, I want you to take your son, Isaac, your only son, your son that you waited for 15 years for, your son that you prayed for 15 years, the son through whom I'm going to bless you and make you the father of a new nation. I want you to take your son Isaac, and I want you to go to the land of Moriah, and I want you to climb the mountain that you've climbed before. But this time, I want you to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. So early the next morning, Abraham gets up, loads his donkey, cuts the wood for the altar, loads it onto the donkey, and he and Isaac and two of his servants begin to do what he's done for 40 years. They begin to walk. They begin to go where God has asked them to go. For 3 days they walk. It's not a 3-day walk. He was giving God every opportunity to intervene, but God didn't. And after 3 days they get to the bottom of the mountain. And Isaac and Abraham go ahead, leaving the donkey and the servants behind. Isaac is literally carrying the wood for the sacrifice on his back. They're walking up the mountain, and Isaac looks at Abraham, and he says the one word that Abraham does not want to hear. He said, Father. And Abraham said, Hanini, here I am. Because Abraham was not only fully available to God, he was fully available to the people around him. Here I am. I'm completely with you, my son. And Isaac says, Dad, I see the fire for the offering. I see the wood for the offering. But I don't see the lamb. What do you tell him? The Lord will provide. They get to the top of the mountain. And it says that Abraham arranged the stones for the sacrifice. He laid out the wood for the fire. And then he bound what most people would say would have been his 12 or 13-year-old son. Like, how do you do that? And he lays him on the altar. And he reaches for the knife. And God calls out to him. And he says, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham for the third time says, Hanini. Like, God, I'm fully here. Everything I have is yours. What do you want me to do? And God said, don't lay a hand on the boy. I've shaken you to the core. And I've seen who you are. How does Abraham obey a God who asked him to sacrifice his son? How do we obey a God who allows so many troubling things to happen in our world? How do we obey a God who sometimes will ask us things to do that we don't want to do? How can we obey a God who asks a father to sacrifice his son? You see, the story in Genesis 22, it's about who Abraham is as a person. He's the type of person that when God speaks, he says, Hanini, here I am. But the story in Genesis 22 is just as much about who our God is, because he's not asking us to do something he's unwilling to do himself. Isaiah 58:9, it says this, "Then you'll call, the Lord will answer, you'll cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.' He will say to his people, 'Hanini,' 'I'm fully available.'" He's not just looking for people who are fully available. He's a God who's fully available to us. Why? Because the story in Genesis 22 doesn't just show us who Abraham is. It shows us who our God is, because it foreshadows what God did on the cross with Jesus. Because here's what it says. It says that as Abraham and Isaac climbed that mountain, that Isaac carried the wood. In Hebrew, the same wood, the same word for bush, branches, tree, on his back. Just as our God allowed his son Jesus to have a tree strapped to his back as he carried the cross. And then they got to the top, and Abraham bound his son just as God the Father allowed Jesus to be bound to the cross by the nails. But then it says, as Abraham grabbed the knife, and God stopped him, that he looked up and he saw a ram in the thicket. And it said, because God had provided a substitute. But no substitute would be provided for Jesus. Why? Because he's the substitute for you and me. That he took our place on the cross. I want to do what's right. I'm scared of getting it wrong, but sometimes I don't know what right is. But here's what I do know. I do know who's asking me to follow that. That even when we can't see good in our circumstance, our God is good. That even when we can't see where he's taken us, we can see who he is. A loving, merciful Father. The question for us is, are we available? Will we start our day by asking God, "Hanini, here I am"? My answer is yes. Now, what's your question? Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us as merciful, as gracious. God, we thank you that you're a God that we can place our trust and our faith in. Help us to obey when you speak. So thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and your mercy as we follow you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.